Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be here with you all on this, what I am told is the 211th homecoming. So welcome, especially to our visitors, longtime members who have since moved away. We're happy to have each and every one of you here today, and there's going to be some good food after the service. So again, welcome. A few notes as we begin our service. There, you may have seen on the far right-hand side of the bulletin, there is a perforated section here. If you're visiting with us, please fill out the visitor's card and place it in the offering plate as it circulates later on in the service. And if you have a prayer request that you would like added to the bulletin or to our weekly prayer list, please fill out the prayer request card and you'll place it in the bread tins as the children circulate those after our children's sermon later on in the service. A few announcements I'd like to highlight before we begin. There's going to be a soup and sandwich luncheon. Soup and salad. What about quiche? I'll invite my grandma. No, just kidding. Soup and salad luncheon. You may have seen these orange cards in the back of the pews. Please, if you've not filled one of those out, this is like a little reservation card so we can plan to see exactly how many we might need to make soup for. So please place those in the offering plate as well as it circulates. Newsletters are available. They're located at the Beaver Dam entrance or also back here on the table or by the mail center here in the back of the church. If you've not received one of those, please pick one of those up. If you didn't receive yours via email this past week, please send me a link and let me know. Send me an email, let me know, and I'll be sure that you get one of those. There's also going to be a section on the new church's website. It's listed there at the top of the page on our bulletin, asburymethodist.org. You may note that that's a different address than before. We had been asburymemorialumc.com. So now we have a new website that's updated that is always stuff getting added there. It's still a work in progress, but it's a great improvement over our previous one. That's located, again, asburymethodist.org, and there's a link on the homepage for the newsletters where you can download those. So keep tuned for more updates of content for that. Please note the Room in the Inn announcement. And David is going to be on call for me this weekend as I'm going to be away. So if you have an emergency, please call David. Are there any other announcements that may not have gotten included in the bulletin or otherwise? Y'all are too quiet this morning. We got some good music planned, and we've already experienced some of that. Well, I invite you to join along with the order of service in our bulletin. And let's pause for a moment of prayer as we begin our service. Let us pray. Almighty God, who guided this church through these 211 years, we give you thanks and praise for the many blessings you've bestowed upon our congregation. Direct and prosper all that we undertake in accordance with your will and purpose. Correct all that may be amiss or imperfect by the power of your Holy Spirit. Inspire and enable every member of your church in word and in deed to proclaim to all people the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who with you in the same Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. Amen. And I invite you to stand as we sing together our opening hymns. The first will be number 555, Forward Through the Ages, and we'll just be singing verses 1 through 3, followed by 698, verses 1 and 3. My apologies. Thank you, Anne. 1 and 3, and then 1 and 4 of 698. Let's stand as we offer our praise. invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 844, as we read responsively from Psalm 121. 844. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved. The Lord who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, the one who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not smite you by day.
The
Lord will keep you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful morning. What a glorious day. What a wonderful time for a homecoming. Welcome, everyone, to your 2012 homecoming celebration. I mess up sometimes. I don't tweet. I don't blog, nor do I text. I don't have a Facebook account, and I'm not on MySpace. Now, it's not because I don't think I'm interesting. It's just that I don't... Well, that does away with that page. It's just that I don't think more than maybe two people care what I really do every moment of every day. I feel pretty confident in saying that it has never before been possible for us to be in constant contact with one another. And yet at the same time, it seems we have never been farther apart. One of my college friends was sharing a story with us last year at our annual Christmas gathering. She was telling that she and her daughter were in the waiting room at her doctor's office when her cell phone began to signal that she had a text message, whatever that sounds like. And when she looked down at it and started to read it, she realized it was from her daughter who was sitting right next to her. I have been blessed, maybe some would say cursed with a gift. I love to talk. For the first 12 years in school, my report card never failed to have an X marked in that talk successively column. And I was really glad to finally get to college where I didn't have to worry about that X anymore. When our church was founded over 200 years ago, the population of this end of the state, depending on which cove, holler, valley, or mountaintop you lived in or on, could be measured in the tens, the hundreds, or at the very best, maybe 1,000. And communication was about as basic as it gets, usually by word of mouth. It was into this sparsely settled and incredibly difficult to access region that Francis Asbury ventured. His descriptions of the difficulty in just getting here are enough to make you ask why anyone would put themselves through it. Now, I suppose Asbury could have simply written a letter to some prominent individual like old Daniel Killian, whom he knew to be a Methodist, and asked him to gather all the people he could of like beliefs, found a society, form a church, and save himself the long and arduous trips in and out of Western North Carolina. Thank heaven he didn't. Asbury knew that he needed to make personal contact with the people in order to acquaint them with God's love and his plans for them. Asbury knew that this was something he would need to do on a personal basis. It wasn't just something you could phone in. Asbury realized that in order to move forward, personal communication was vital. When personal communication fails, and I stress personal, bad things tend to occur. Virtual contact is unfortunately becoming the norm. Hardly a day goes by that we don't hear, read, or see on TV the results of cyberbullying, threats to others made virtually that perhaps would never have been done in reality. Virtual misunderstandings have real consequences. Our region and nation are facing great challenges, as is our church. An open, honest, and personal dialogue with each other here at home, nationally and abroad, is vital to our moving forward through the ages. Now, I don't want to appear to be condemning the new social media as a whole, but I would like to encourage you to occasionally look up from your phone or iPad and look the person with whom you are communicating in the eye. And maybe, just maybe, you'll feel the need to talk rather than to text. But remember this. Communication is a two-way street. You must first learn when to listen as well as when to speak. Happy 211th birthday, Asbury Memorial. As usual, we wish for you and for us many, many more.
We are standing on hope. I invite any children that want to come forward for the children's time and a special message for them and all of us this day.
How many of you have ever made a mistake? Gracious and holy God, thank you for forgiving us and for giving us a chance to try and try again, even when we make mistakes the first, second, or even the third. Bless us all, now and always. Amen. Our bread tin offering is a loose change offering that we're taking now for the McCurdy School in New Mexico. So dig deep into those pockets and give generously to the McCurdy School.
Hear the voice coming,
looking, coming,
and I'll be ready.
I'll be ready
when he calls my name.
When he calls my name,
so happy I'll be.
So happy I'll be
on my way to heaven.
On the way to heaven,
I hear the angels,
freely say.
Boat of love,
on the boat of love,
down at the harbor,
down at the harbor,
it's waiting there,
is waiting there,
for you and me,
for you and me.
I have no fear,
I have no fear.
Christ is the captain,
Christ is the captain.
He'll guide us o'er,
he'll guide us o'er life's rolling sea.
Let's get on board,
let's get on board,
that great excursion,
that great excursion.
Sail the sea.
And sail the sea
to the home above.
To the home above.
Don't wait too late.
Don't wait too late.
Make a reservation.
Make a reservation.
The boat of God.
This boat of God's eternal love.
Oh, the boat of love.
Oh, the boat of love.
Down at the harbor.
Down at the harbor.
It's waiting there.
It's waiting there.
For you and me.
For you and me.
I have no fear.
I have no fear.
Christ is the captain.
Christ is captain.
He'll guide us
o'er life's rolling sea.
On the boat of love,
on the boat of love,
we'll soon be sailing.
We'll soon be sailing.
It's heading for
that golden shore.
That golden shore.
Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late.
Make a reservation.
Heaven is my home forevermore.
Boat of love,
on the boat of love,
down at the harbor,
down at the harbor,
it's waiting there,
is waiting there,
for you and me,
for you and me.
I have no fear,
I have no fear.
Christ is the captain,
Christ is the captain.
He'll guide us, oh,
he'll guide us o'er life's rolling sea.
Oh, the boat of love,
on the boat of love,
down at the harbor,
down at the harbor,
it's waiting there,
is waiting there,
for you and me,
for you and me.
I have no fear,
I have no fear.
Christ is the captain,
Christ is captain.
He'll guide us
o'er life's rolling sea.
The first church that I served was in Manningtree, England. It was Manningtree Methodist Church, and it was founded 207 years ago. I was so amazed whenever I learned that this church was older than the church that was founded by John Wesley that I served in England. But going back just a mere 17 years from today is when I met Brian, our guest preacher today. Brian is one of the pastors at the Haywood Street Congregation, which is doing just some wonderful things here in Asheville. I know many of you are actively involved in helping out with the things they do there, and I know you will be in for a treat this morning whenever you hear Brian's message to us. Brian is originally from Charlotte. He went to that other seminary in Atlanta. What's it called? Emory? Sorry. It beats other places, right? But you were in for a treat with his message to us today. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation to be here. When I moved to the mountains about 5 years ago, I figured a number of things out. One is homecoming matters. This is a big day in the life of this church, so it is a big deal for me to be here. It's getting to the point where I think that Asbury Memorial is Haywood Street North, and Haywood Street is Asbury Memorial South. Thank you for the support you all have given to this ministry, to our siblings on the street. It's called wisdom literature. There's three books in the Hebrew Bible: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. Wisdom literature is concerned with the genre of instructions on living, how we align our wills to God's will. Well, in the New Testament, the only wisdom literature comes from James. And what James cares about, what he has to say as his place of wisdom, it starts with three marks of what he calls true religion. Well, the first is you're going to take care of the poor. That's not negotiable. This is not a literary device or a metaphor to be dismissed. This means you're going to take care of the poor. Second is you're going to hold back from all the pollutants of culture. Oh, they are going to come and seduce and invite, but we are to stay away from that. And the third is right speech. Right speech. James is the book that cares more about this than anybody else. For James, right speech has everything to do with what it means to be a Christian. I mean, put it this way. If for James, faith without works is dead, it's kind of like discipleship without a tame tongue can never be trained upon God. Jesus puts it a little different. He says, somewhere between earth and heaven, there will come a moment, one of reckoning, where you will have a seat and I will ask you to give an account of how you used your words. Judgment will have everything to do with what you did with your tongue in this life. A friend tells the story of a parent and child. They went out to the ball field. They were learning about catching the ball. Dad said, I want you to go in the outfield by the warning track. And the son could feel the pressure of the moment, of his dad's expectation, and he pulled his hat down tight and he laced up his cleats and he found that sweet spot in his mitt and clack, the ball kept coming his way. Oh, but his legs were biscuits and his hands were butter and he couldn't get one finger of leather on any one of those fly balls. Drop, 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 drop. And Dad, furious, stomped out into the outfield in a fury of sand and sod and said, you know, all I wanted was a major leaguer. A son who would wear pinstripes under the bright lights. And all I got was you. All I got was you. See, our words matter. They matter a whole lot. As a poet put it, there are three things we can never get back: the spent arrow, the lost opportunity, and the spoken word. Now, I know a number of you all, and a number of you know me, so let's go ahead and get it out of the way. I know many of you want to do it, so I'm giving you permission. Go ahead and stick your tongue out at somebody. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. For those of you that have been to Haywood Street, you know in the sermon I'm going to ask you what you think, that we're going to preach this together. So I would invite you to pay even closer attention to what our text says today. It comes from James, and it's printed in your bulletin. Hear the word of the Lord. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No, no more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's go back to our prayer of illumination, if you all will join me with me together saying, gracious God, pour out upon us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that we may aught your will and shown your truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I dreamed I walked in heaven just the other night. There was so much beauty, so much light. Don't you wish it was true? Don't you wish it was true? An angel took my hand, said you don't have to hurry. You got all the time in the world, don't worry. Don't you wish it was true? Don't you wish it was true? But if tomorrow everybody was your friend, everyone could take you in, no matter where or where you've been. But if tomorrow everybody had enough, the world wasn't quite so rough. Lord, don't you wish it was true? He said the world's gonna change, and starting today there'll be no more armies, no more hate. Don't you wish it was true? Don't you wish it was true? And all the little children will live happily. They'll be singing in laughter, sweet harmony. Don't you wish it was true? Don't you wish it was true? But if tomorrow everybody under the sun is happy just living as one, no wars or battles to be won. But if tomorrow everybody was your friend, happiness would never end. Lord, don't you wish it was true? Everybody under the sun is happy just living as one. The borders or battles be won. But if tomorrow everybody was your friend, happiness would never end. Lord, don't you wish it was true? Lord, don't you wish it was true?
Tom Hanks was recently interviewed, and he was asked, tell us about a word that changed your whole life. He said, Daddy. Being called Daddy. What words have changed your life? This is the part where you get to help preach. Choir? You're fired? Yeah. Yeah, we can go both ways on this. Words can heal and harm.
I love you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes is a great word.
No kids.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a beautiful phrase. Yet one author said that if you can change someone's working metaphor, the vocabulary in which they order their life, you'll change everything in them. Like, for instance, on the street, what I run into over and over again is people who say, here are the words in my life. I'm an addict. I'm mentally ill. I'm an outcast. I'm worthless. God doesn't love me. Well, what if you reframe that to God's child? That's very different. Imagine you'd live your life very differently too. Anybody else?
I do.
I like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need you.
Huh. You are forgiven. Words have enormous power. I think that's what James is after here. What else did you hear in the text? Was there a moment, a phrase, an image that said, yeah, I probably ought to pay attention to that. Sarah's doing a good thing. She's looking in her bulletin again. That helps.
Teachers.
Yeah, that's interesting, Curtis, because... I know Merritt's back there somewhere, and Curtis and I, we make our living with words. Oh, that's dangerous stuff. I know there's a number of us out here that do that. Sally Ann's another one. Katie, David. Words, wow. See, when James is speaking here, you got to remember, teachers were right there with prophets and apostles. In fact, what kids were taught was you need to defer from your parents' instruction to your teachers. They are actually the most important people in your life now. And teachers got a little fat and sassy with that. They figured out we're as important as anybody else in society, and there's all kinds of kickbacks we can get. And they took advantage, and they got rich, and they got wealthy. Beware, teachers. Beware. Yeah. What else did you hear in the text? You heard family. How did you hear family, Joanne? Brothers and sisters. Yeah. Think about what kind of things you say around the family table. Will Willimon, I'll say something about Duke. Will Willimon, he was a professor at Duke, a United Methodist bishop. He makes the case in this text that actually, as a church, we ought to gossip more. Isn't that interesting? Well, here's what gossip means. If you take the word gossip to the original language, it's a contraction of God and sibling. The original intention of gossip means when you are sitting at the family table having dinner and one of your brothers or sisters is not there and you don't know where they are, you're concerned. You gossip about them. What we think about gossip today is actually a gross distortion of the intention of the word. If we mean what Willimon means, we need to gossip more. It's talking about our family. Where are they? We're concerned. Maybe we should pray for them. Are you a gossiping congregation? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. You said something about fire. Tongue is a fire. Isn't that interesting? James gets so excited about his language here. Do you notice? I mean, he's talking about ships. He's talking about horses. He's talking about fires and trees and water. What's curious to me is my tongue is a very small part of my body, but I think James is making the case these little tiny things control the larger body. You set a match, well, that can warm you or that can burn down a national forest. If you lean on the rudder of a ship a little too much, well, that's the difference between Nassau and Nantucket. If you have a raging stallion and you put a bridle and a bite on it, well, now it's a thoroughbred that's trained. Little things, big difference. Friends, the easiest sin to commit is one of the mouth. The easiest sin to commit is one of the mouth. It can be a fire. Watch out. What else did you hear in the text?
Guide their whole bodies.
Guide their whole bodies. What's remarkable about this is James is saying that little tongue in your mouth, everything after it will follow. He's saying it's pretty difficult, though. Did you catch that little part about the creatures? He's making the point that, oh, you can train a goose to lay a golden egg. You can train a reindeer to pull Santa's sleigh. You can train an octopus to open your can of beanie weenies. That's easier than getting your tongue to follow God's word. But you have to do it. And if you do, your body, oh, it'll follow too. See, what's curious to me is psychology teaches us, don't say it and then your actions will follow. Start practicing whatever the behavior is and then your speech will follow. Well, James didn't have access to that information. He's saying, no, no, no. Get it right with your mouth and everything else will follow. I think he's still on to something. You ever notice how quickly words travel too? I hear this on the street a lot. Y'all may know where the Ice House is. It's down by the River Arts District. It's a squatter building. Well, somebody could lean over in their sleeping bag and say something to someone else. Well, pretty soon it's going to have grown legs and walked up to the hot spot. That's where all the drug deals go down. Oh, and then after that, it's going to hitchhike over to A-Hope, the homeless day center, and it'll walk around there. And then it's going to take a plane to Pritchard Park, and it's there before lunch, right? As fast as that siren outside. Words, they move quick. Y'all one of the churches that always prays when you hear that? That's a good practice. Anything else come up in the text? All of us make many mistakes. Yeah, good grief, Mike. Yeah. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yes, absolutely. What's curious to me is if you ever wondered why our pews are empty, why so many people are at Sunny Point having breakfast, or they're asleep right now, or they're reading the New York Times, this is it. Because people who have been to church or who have never been to church say that we Christians have a duplicity of tongue. We haven't gotten our words right. Get your words right and then maybe I'll show up. Maybe I'll show up. Yeah. What I appreciate about James is he doesn't make the move that Trappist monks does. He never says to us, you know what, this is just too hard. I want you to take a vow of silence. James never says that. You get the sense that he's been reading Genesis or the Gospel of John, rather. After all, in the beginning, God moves across the face of the deep and brings order out of chaos through divine words. Right? And then God does something remarkable. After creating us good and sacred, God says, I give you the first gift, and that is to name things. Did you catch that in the creation story? Oh, that little furry thing with the ball of hair, we're going to call that a terrier. Oh, and the thing scratching in the dirt in Africa, we're going to call that an aardvark. Oh, and that beautiful bird in the night sky, we're going to call that a raven. Oh, and now you can start naming creation. See that river? We're going to call it the French Broad. Oh, that mountain with the spectacular view? We're going to call it Mount Pisgah. Our fair city? We're going to call it Asheville. Oh, and there's Madeline. We can name each other. And there's Wiley. And there's Curtis. And there's Katie. How enormous the gift that is. Most things in the world don't exist until we name them. And when the world fell silent and needed a word of good news, what did God do? Jesus became the Word made flesh, right? It begs the question, what are we doing here? Why do we keep showing up Sunday after Sunday to worship? I think it's because we come to church to learn how to talk. This is where we are trained in the ABCs of faith, the phonics of God's vocabulary. See, the world is going to say very clearly, you need to hoard. We say, no, we're going to share. The world is going to say, roll up your windows and lock the doors. And we say, no, we're going to cross to the other side because there's a man in the ditch and somebody's got to be the Good Samaritan. The world is going to say over and over again, you need to withhold forgiveness and grace. And we said, no, we're going to go to the fresh market and get the best they have because the prodigal son is coming home and we have a barbecue. The world is going to say, cling to your isolation and your loneliness. And we say, no. We have homecoming to go to. Have a homecoming to go to. Peter's story tells this remarkable account. When he was a pastor in South Africa and a church member of his was walking home late at night in Cape Town. Meetings and paperwork had kept her well past midnight, and she's walking in the brisk night air, and she's clutching her coat. And ladies, you know this feeling. Someone is looking at you, and you don't want their eyes on you. And so she picks up her pace, and the presence grows near, and she knows the violence is imminent. And she does something awfully remarkable. She turns around to her accuser, and she says to him, sir, I'm terrified. I need your help. Will you walk me safely home? And then she says, what is your name? So he walks her home. And she gets to her door and she turns the key and she goes in to lock the door behind her. And he says, by the way, I came to rape you tonight and to leave you for dead. My whole life, I have been that kid who never could catch the fly ball. The world has called me a criminal and an outcast and worthless and anything else that you can think of. But you asked me my name, and then you called me my name. No one has ever done that. Amen.
It's your turn to sing. I invite you to stand as we sing together. Hymn number 577. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 3. 577. Please be seated. I'll draw your attention to all of those prayer concerns that are listed here in our bulletin. I'd like to also add to that list a little. Jennifer Keeney actually broke her shoulder this past week down in Hendersonville and can't drive because of it. And so if you'll just please keep her in your thoughts and prayers this day. Also, I had an update from Hughes Chisholm's family. He's the Jackson's grandson. Are they here today? He's going to be getting some scans and things of that nature at Vanderbilt this week. So a lot of anxiety and nervousness about that. If you could please remember their family this week and today as well. Any others? Crop walk is today, and please keep all of us who are walking in your prayers. Well, if there are no others, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the people of this place, past, present, and future. And we ask that your blessing might be upon this place in a special way this year. Help us with our speech, with our words, with our deeds, that in all that we say and in all that we do, that in peace and unity we might proclaim your good news. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we are reminded of our strong connections as your servants, not just with those who share the name Methodist, but with all those who call upon your name, wherever they are, whatever they look like, whatever they smell like, whatever language they speak. O Lord, we know that you are the God of all creation. We pray for our church in its various forms. We pray for our conference, for our district, for our leaders, for our bishop. And we rejoice in our common heritage. Lord, help and strengthen each of us in our worship, in our service, in our speech. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for this wonderful community in which we live, in which we witness. Lord, we pray for every nation and community, especially those torn apart by violence and war, by hurt, disease, and hunger. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious God, we lift up to you this day those near and dear to our own hearts, those in our families, those in our church family, who are in need of your healing and your wholeness. We lift up to you all of those whom we've raised earlier, and those whom we lift up to you now in silence. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. now from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to Him. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we give you thanks for these gifts. As we offer them to you, we offer also ourselves, that both the gift and the giver might be of service to your kingdom. We offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn. It's number 370, Victory in Jesus. We'll sing the first and last verses of 370. Thank you.